Good evening to you. I hope you had a good first day of classes. I really do. I was grateful I didn't have any, but I'm glad that you were able to start that. A new semester full today. My family was in the den for most of the day, and it was great to see so many of you as you worked your way through there this day. Many of you throughout the day came and told me that you were praying for tonight, that tonight's message. And I am just overwhelmed by that, and I thank you. I have no power. The only thing I have is exactly what you have. I have the Word of God, and I have the Holy Spirit. And by the way, that's enough. It's more than enough. And all my desire is to point it out to you. We just had saying to us, "Speak, O Lord." I couldn't help but think about Psalm 29, which speaks, "The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. It is the voice of the Lord that shakes the wilderness." And my prayer tonight is that you would hear the voice of the Lord. Because ultimately, who cares what I have to say? Only as I speak what God has said, that's what we should care about. And so my prayer is that you hear God tonight, specifically as He speaks to you. One more thing before we look at the Scripture, and that is kind of a special thing for my wife and I. Today we went to the spot here on campus where on February the 26th in the year 2000, her 21st birthday, I told her that I loved her for the very first time. That was special. I'm not going to tell you where it is, but it was a special moment for us to go back there again today and just marvel at all God has done for us as He brought us together, eventually as husband and wife, and the road, the journey that He has placed us on and that we are currently on. Tonight, I would like to direct your attention to the book of Philippians. Philippians, and if you could find chapter 4. I had a good friend of mine in 2017 encouraged me to study the book of Philippians. Now, I have been a preacher for many, many years, and I have preached various texts in Philippians, and I am well familiar with the message of Philippians, but I had never studied it personally, verse 1 through 4, what's the last verse, 23. I had not gone through the entire book before. So I said to Bryn, "Let's study it together." And so we did. And through, I would say, about half or so of 2017, we studied every verse of Philippians. And I learned a lot. I gleaned a lot. But we had no idea how much we would need it in 2018. I am a preacher, so my study of the Word of God automatically, eventually produces messages and sermons. As it burns in my heart, I want to share it with the church. And God began to start opening up those things. And there is one text of Scripture that in 2018 has been, or was for us in 2018, probably the most significant text of Scripture for us. You see, it was a year ago in January of 2018 that I got the news that my dad, who is a preacher of the gospel, had been diagnosed with cancer. Cancer has hit many of your families, I know that, but it never hit our family before, and it hit. And obviously, that was a significant setback in my family. That was in January, end of the month, just a year ago. But then 2 months later, in March of 2018, my wife, Bryn, was diagnosed with stage 3 breast cancer. That one hit a little bit closer to home. I've always considered my dad a very strong, he's one of the strong people in my life. My wife is one of those other real strong people in my life. And to have both of them have cancer hit in the span of 2 months made my head spin, made my head leak, you know. I did a lot of crying, a lot of fears, a whole lot of tears, a whole lot of anxiety, a whole lot of what ifs. All of those things that began to assault my mind, my heart, my family. But this text here in Philippians, and there are actually several, but I want to focus in on the one that has been the biggest help to me, is found here in Philippians chapter 4. And as soon as I read or announce my text, for some of you who are really familiar with your Bible, you may sit here and say, "Oh, really? That's so common. That's so familiar. Give me something that I haven't heard." Well, the truth is, I'm afraid that we are so familiar with portions of the Scripture, we do not see their depth. We do not understand their significance until we really need them. And I really needed and have been needing and still need Philippians 4, 6, 7, 8, and 9. In which the apostle exhorts, actually from a prison house, "Be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus." That's a very important phrase. "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you." Philippians chapter 4 is anchored, I believe, by the great verse number 13. I'm not going to dwell upon that, but I think if you understand verse 13, it fits the rest of the chapter together. It holds it together. Have you heard of Philippians 4:13? "I can do all things through Christ, and this strengthens me." There's those four words in the middle of that, "all things through Christ." That phrase has arrested my heart. It has captured my attention for several months now. Let me rephrase that. Everything you face in life is to be lived through Christ. That's why even here in verse number 7, our hearts and minds are guarded through Christ Jesus. I can do all things through Christ. In other words, Christ is your strength when you are weak. He is your stability when life is unstable. Jesus is your peace when life is anxious. Jesus is your joy when life hurts. Jesus is truly everything in anything that you face. Let me put it to you this way. Let's put some flesh to this. Jesus, for the Christian, is how you face cancer. Jesus is how you face divorce in the family. Jesus is how you face PTSD, bullying, shaming, abuse, miscarriages in the family. Jesus is how you face alcoholism in the family, anxieties, the premature death, at least from our perspective, of someone you dearly love. And I could go on and on, and I am grateful for the world in which we live, the advancement, such things as medicine can help in this world. Boy, am I thankful for that. Therapy, support groups, all of these things bring relief, but none of those things bring lasting peace. None of those things bring eternal joy. They're helpful, but they're not Jesus. Because you see, the Lord Jesus Christ, He is the only one, and don't miss this, He is the only one who can provide supreme hope that the calamity in your life, and yes, even death, are not final. Only Jesus can deliver that. Only Jesus Christ, my Lord, promises and one day delivers elimination of pain. Only Jesus strengthens you with never-ending joy and confidence in the darkness. Only Jesus stabilizes you with this knowledge, I am good with God. I'm favored in His sight. Only Jesus gives otherworldly strength to meet life's challenges. I have talked to so many people when they have in my lifetime shared the difficulties, the setbacks, the heartaches, the diseases, the deaths, the tragedies in their life. And I have literally thought this, how in the world can you handle that? I don't think I could handle that. And the answer is always, Andy, God's grace has been sufficient. And I have learned that as well. Because only Jesus is the one who really gets you through. Because of Christ alone, you have access to the very strength, the very peace, the very calm of heaven. This world is desperate for peace. Therefore, there is no greater time than ours for the Christian message. All things through Christ. By the way, the apostle is simply restating the teaching of our Lord Jesus. Do you remember what he said in John 15, 5? Without me, you can do nothing. And here comes the apostle some decades later, and he says, but you can do all things through Christ. If you remember him, you will rejoice, you will have confidence, you will have peace in all of the events of life. And the apostle here in Philippians, particularly chapter 4, instructs the church on how to face all things in life through Christ. And as I have broken it down, far greater expositors would do better than me, but I'm the one who's been asked to preach. This is how I've broken it down. I believe what he's doing here is he shows how to face all things through Christ in three different circumstances. In the first five verses, he is going to say this, when you face conflicts, particularly in relationships in the church, when you face conflicts, rejoice in Christ. In verses 6 through 9, which is our text for tonight, he says this, when you suffer anxieties, think on Christ. And then in verse 10 to the rest of the chapter, when you lack necessities, rely on Christ. So there you go. Conflicts, anxieties, necessities. And this is how my silly brain thinks. Conflicts, anxieties, necessities. C-A-N. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. But tonight we want to look at that second one. When you suffer anxieties, think on Christ. Would you agree with me that the world in which you live has been paralyzed? We have been paralyzed by anxious thoughts and worrisome fears. Would you agree with me? And isn't that odd? Because as a society, we are the most insured society in history. Home insurance. Health insurance. Car insurance, life insurance, identity theft protection, antivirus software, home security systems that promise to give you peace of mind. But their very existence is proof that you don't have peace of mind. I was in Charleston, South Carolina a year ago, and I saw this big advertisement as I was driving around. Get your golf cart insurance here. I thought, well, now I need to go get a golf cart so I can insure it. We are the most insured society in history. We are desperate to eliminate the unknown. We know we can't stop catastrophes, so what do we want to do? We want to put all of these layers of protection between ourselves and that which we know is going to hurt. So when catastrophe does hit us, it's got to go through all these layers, and so when it finally gets to us, oh, it won't hurt as much as it might have. So what do we end up doing? We become control freaks. Are you this? We control relationships. We try to control money. We try to control circumstances and people's schedules and our schedules. We try to control conversations. We are desperate to eliminate the unknown. We are tiring ourselves out to insulate ourselves from what we don't want. We are fearful. We are anxious. We lack peace. With all of this insurance in society, let me ask you this one very important question. Are we a society at peace? No. What is supposed to bring us peace does not. Now, I know that the world is not at peace, but I ask this question, what about the church? Are we at peace? Are we any different from the world? Sadly, the Christian is no different by and large in this matter of anxiety from those without Christ. Consequently, the world looks at us and says, I have no time for your message because you have nothing to offer me. Why should I become a Christian? I'm already anxious. I'm already sad. I'm already worrisome. You have nothing to offer me. They have no time for our message. You see, when the Christian is full of anxiety, he has forgotten Jesus Christ. She is not thinking, no, she is reacting to problems and potential problems that may come. This is what I'd like to do tonight. I would like to look at verse 6 and talk about the possibility of anxious-free living. Is it even possible? We are told to not be anxious, but is it really possible? That's verse 6. Then in verse number 7, we are going to see the peace. Really the peace that is promised in anxious-free living. And then in verses 8 and 9, we are going to see the path to anxious-free living. Now some of you despise alliteration. So forget the word path and put the word way and we're all on the same page. Okay? I don't care how you divide it up, but that's where we're going. So let's look number one here and verse number 6, the possibility of anxious-free living. Is this thing possible? Look at verse number 6. The apostle writes this, be careful for nothing. Be anxious about nothing. Is that not an astonishing impossibility? I mean, really think about that. Be anxious about nothing? Seriously, Paul? I mean, obviously the first century in which you were living and writing, obviously the first century is way different from the 21st century. I mean, we have nuclear bombs, Paul. Deal with that. We have rogue nations who have the big red button for the nuclear bombs. We have gun violence. Have you ever heard of a gun, Paul? Be anxious for nothing. We have unsafe streets. We have racism. Well, I guess there was racism back then, but it's worse now, right? We have a crushing national debt. Oh, we have cyberbullying. You have no clue what you're talking about, Paul. Cyber attacks. We have government shutdowns over border security issues. Don't think you were thinking about that one, Paul. We have student debt. We have cancer. We have STDs. We have PTSDs. We have abuse and injustice. We have countries ripping apart. Be anxious for nothing. Is the Christian message even based in reality? In nothing be anxious? Come on, Paul, what planet are you on? This is entirely possible. But I'm going to say this very clearly. This is anxious-free living is entirely possible for the Christian, and only for the Christian, because he or she has come face to face to the cross of Calvary. For the Bible says in the book of Colossians that peace was won at the cross. The blood of Jesus Christ on that cross. You see, what happened on the cross when Jesus died is he opened up a new and living way of access to the Father. The Christian, and only the Christian, now has exclusive access to the one who is above his creation. Can I put it to you this way? The Lord is not anxious about tomorrow. He is not up in heaven wondering how tomorrow is going to go. In fact, he has already declared the end from the beginning. You may be anxious about tomorrow or about this particular semester or this particular year or what is happening in the family, but your God is not. And this is what sets the church off from the world. We, and only we, have access to God through Christ. We have a way in. In fact, in the book of Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 18, he says we have access by one Spirit to the Father through Jesus Christ. Jesus is our way in. Jesus is our way of access to the Father. That's where we are different from the world. We have access to God. So what should we do? Verse 6 says we ought to in everything come to God with our prayers, with our requests, with the burdens and desires of our heart. The writer of Hebrews says, let us come boldly into the very throne room of grace. But he also says, not only just bring your prayers, he says also bring your supplication. Now, this is a very good Sunday word. You know what I'm saying? Sunday words, it's the word you hear at church and never anywhere else. What in the world does supplication mean? Now, I want to give you a super, super, super basic definition. That could say one word definition of help. There you go, of supplication. It is help. Now, there are far more nuances to it, but that is the biggest help for me. I think I was a little kid when someone told me that. Teacher, what does supplication mean? It means help. Help, Lord. I'm hurting. Help, Lord, I'm anxious. Help, Lord, I don't know what tomorrow holds. Help, Lord, my family is torn up. Help, I lack wisdom. I am confused. I am suicidal. Come heal my broken spirit. Oh, Lord, I need help. I'm not sure what's going on. So at the end of March, we're sitting in the doctor's office, and the doctor looks at Bryn and me, and he confirms this is cancer. And I said, well, is this life-threatening? Kind of hoping for a positive answer. And he said, without hesitation, oh, this is life-threatening. If we do not do some radical stuff, if we do not have surgery, and soon this can take your wife's life. And he said, I'm going to have to go check on something. That he was called out. He said, I'll be gone 2 minutes. I'll be right back. Answer any questions you have. He left the room, and it was just the two of us in there. And that's when the tears first started. And we were all alone in there. Of course, our God was with us. But as we're in there processing all that we had just heard, trying to think through what are we supposed to do? How is this affecting our life, our family? My job, which is that of traveling around and preaching the gospel, what is this going to look like? I don't remember which one of us, it says probably Bryn, she walks so close with God, but one of us said to the other, well, here's our opportunity to make a whole lot of Jesus Christ. We've got to tell our kids tonight, and how we react, they're going to take their cues from this. We took a moment, we prayed as a couple. The doctor came back in, answered questions, and that night we sat our kids down and I broke the news to them. Your mom has cancer and we don't know what all this means, and she's going to have surgery in about a week, and life is going to be very different for us from now on. But I want you guys to know that we're not angry at God. We still love God. We're still going to serve God. We're still going to pursue Him. We're not sure why He has allowed this in, but we're going to be just fine. Do you kids have any questions? Well, they didn't. And I finally said, well, let's go ahead and pray. Let's commit this to the Lord. So we bowed our heads and I started praying. And as I was praying, I'm stumbling along in my prayer when the Holy Spirit brought back to mind the lessons that we had been learning in Philippians. And actually, as I was praying, the Holy Spirit brought back Philippians 4:6 to my mind. Don't be anxious about anything, but bring your prayers, bring your requests for help to Him. So I started to. And I said, Lord, we don't want to be anxious. We want to give this to You. Have you ever been praying and you're trying to instruct the people around you, you know, giving them Bible truth as you're praying? I'm the spiritual leader in the home. I'm trying to teach my children how to react and how to respond and how to think through this. And so as I'm praying to the Lord, I'm also trying to be a discipler of my children. I was feeling pretty good about myself. Have you ever been praying and you feel pretty good about yourself? I was. When the Holy Spirit brought to mind the rest of verse number 6. With thanksgiving, let your request be made unto God. Now, I speak tongue in cheek, but this is why you shouldn't memorize the Bible. It comes to you when you really need it. So now I'm having a conversation with God as I am praying, and the Holy Spirit has brought back to my mind that I should be praying and asking for help with thanksgiving. And I'm thinking, thanksgiving? How in the world can I give thanks? I'm not happy about cancer. I'm not thankful for cancer. I'm not thankful that we've been brought into this situation. And so as I am praying to God, I'm having a separate conversation with God. Have you ever done that? And in the separate conversation, I'm saying, Lord, how am I supposed to be thankful? Help me. There's another prayer of supplication. And I'll tell you what the Lord brought to my mind that night. He's brought several other things to my mind since. But on that night, this was all I could think of. Lord, I know the Scripture says that we ought to bring our requests with thanksgiving. And I know the Scripture says in 1 Thessalonians that in everything we give thanks. Perhaps we don't have to be thankful for cancer, but we can be thankful in the midst of cancer. And thank You that You have allowed cancer into our lives so You can remind us how much we need You, because we've got nothing right now. Thank You for reminding us. Now, since then, I have learned to be thankful that God has given us opportunities to magnify Christ. He has given us opportunities to live out Christ, to speak of Christ to those who know not Christ. I have since learned to be thankful for the opportunities to watch how Jesus works. But that night, that was all I could come up with. With thanksgiving. And what we learn is this: our prayers for help with thanksgiving, according to verse 7, brings peace to our troubled hearts. Now, my experience, for what it's worth, is the Bible is accurate. And I want to show you what the Bible says, and I want to even bring you to the point of how we have discovered that peace from God. But you should not base it on my experience, but on the authority of the Word of God. So let's go there first. We have seen the possibility of anxious free living. It is possible because we, the church, have come through the cross. We have access through Christ to the Father, the one above anxiety and above his creation. Now let's look at verse number 7, the peace in anxious free living. You may sit here and say, you mean to tell me that prayers bring peace? Come on, Andy, prayers are worthless. Nothing fails like prayer. I mean, let's be honest. Some of you think that. Nothing fails like prayer. Well, to that I would answer, Scripture says differently. Would you look at verse number 7? And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep. The word is guard. It will guard. God's peace will guard your heart. It will guard your thinking through Christ Jesus. The answer to your prayers and pleas for help with thanksgiving from God is a calm, peaceful, joyful, or I should put the word confident, heart that all is well because I have Jesus and Jesus, more importantly, has me. In other words, God brings peace to your turbulent heart in the midst of the anxiety. Now, again, you can sit here tonight and you can say, I object. You and people like you give people false hope. Maybe you're a non-Christian here tonight, and maybe this is your thought. You Christians, you live in such a fantasy world. Tell it like it is. Prayer is a cop-out. Give me something that works for the real world. Oh, you want to talk real world? Well then, by all means, let's talk real world stuff. All right? Where are you going to go to get your calm, peaceful heart when the doctor gives you 3 months to live? Where are you going to go? You want to talk real world? Let's do it. Where are you going to go when someone so hurts you and tears into your soul like shrapnel? Where are you going to go? Where are you going to find your peace? Where are you going to go when you have been blindsided or overwhelmed? When you lose your job, when someone steals your savings? What are you going to do when you or someone you love has been abused or someone you love has been lost in death? Where are you going to go when you or someone you love has been mistreated? When the night terrors come? When you simply cannot breathe because of the choking tears and the fears that grip your heart? Let's talk real world. Where are you going to go to get your calm, peaceful heart when you're not sure your life is worth living anymore? Tell me. I'll tell you what a lot of people do. Are you going to drink yourself to a calm heart? It's what a lot of people try to do. Well, let me ask you this. How do you feel after a night of drinking? Do you feel at peace? Some people do this. Are you going to turn to pills and needles? You going to turn to meds, drugs, marijuana? How long does that peace last? Till you got to get your next hit. Are you going to porn your anxieties away? A lot of people try that. You going to sex your anxieties away? Hey, welcome to a whole new set of problems. We live in 21st century America. This is, I love this one. Are you going to binge watch on Netflix or whatever your streaming service is? You know, all 7 seasons in 2 days? Some of you have done that. Well, good. Go ahead. You know, enjoy it. Laugh, cry, whatever your particular favorite show is. What are you going to do when the season's over? I'll rewatch it. All right, well, good for you. Then what? Are you a music person? I mean, you have nonstop music all the time playing. The moment you get up to the moment you go to bed, and maybe you get in your car, maybe to go to the work or whatever, and you don't want to think, so you turn the radio on. You constantly have noise around you. You got to go to sleep sometime. What are you going to do then? Are you going to work away your anxieties? A lot of people try that. Throw yourself into a worthy cause. Well, good. A lot of workaholics are trying to get away from their anxieties and the problems of their life. So go ahead, throw yourself in a worthy cause, work and work, but guess who you cannot get away from wherever you are working? You. And with you comes all of your problems and all of your anxieties. Here's another good one. Are you going to get angry? You know, you've lost control of things in your life, but you don't want to accept that. So you get on social media and you vent. You vomit your heart out on social media. You use tough, vulgar language. You want to show people how tough you are and how much you're on top of life. Well, does that calm your heart down? No, but hey, it's on there forever now. So good luck with that. I saw in Madison, Wisconsin, a bumper sticker. It had these four words: ride bikes, drink beer. Now, there's a philosophy of life, don't you think? Exercise and entertain yourself away. All right, good. When all is said and done, your fears, your pain, your anxieties have not gone away. You say prayers don't work for the real world, but all your trying doesn't work for the real world. You've got nothing. And you say, but I still object. I just don't understand how praying to a God I cannot see in the midst of a world I cannot figure out, I have no idea how when I pray to this God that somehow He's going to bring peace to my turbulent, difficult situation in my heart. He's going to calm my heart down. I just don't understand. It makes no sense to me. Well, to that I answer, did you read the Bible? Verse 7, the peace of God, which won't make any sense to you, will guard your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. In the middle of the anxieties you can't figure out, comes God's peace you can't explain. It's called living by faith. But listen to what Jesus said, John 14:27. Don't take my word for it, here are His words. He says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Oh, my friend, my brother in Christ, my sister, is the peace of God ruling in your heart tonight? There should be a marked difference between the church and the world in how we handle anxieties. And this difference, I believe, is best understood as the difference between thinking and reacting. Here it goes. It goes something like this. When anxieties come, those without Christ react to circumstances. But we who are in Christ, when anxieties come, the church thinks on Christ. Reacting or thinking? And that leads us to verses 8 and 9, the path to anxious-free living. Let me read it again. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true and honest and just and pure and lovely and are of good report, if there is any virtue or any praise, think on these things. And then the apostle uses himself as an example of what he has just exhorted them to do. In verse number 9, though he is in prison, he is reminding them of his ministry with them in Philippi, what they witnessed and heard from him. Notice, those things which you learned from me, you received from me, you heard in me, you saw in me, do those things. And watch how the God of peace will be with you as he currently is with me now. See, that's what he's saying. It all goes back to your mind. Here is the answer to anxiety. The answer to anxiety deals with how and what you think. When does the very God of peace come? When you give your mind to him. When you think in a Christian manner. You see, worry is actually the opposite of thinking. Worry is simply reactionary. Think about it. Worry is allowing circumstances to control your mind, or what might happen control your mind. Worry, let's put it in Christian terms, worry is walking by your sight. Worry is walking by your understanding of the situation, your limited understanding of the situation. You cannot see what he can see, the Lord. Worry is walking by sight. Worry is not walking by faith. Therefore, worry is anti-Christian. You are held captive tonight by what has happened. You are held captive tonight, and so many of you are. You are held captive tonight by fears of what might happen. And rather than thinking with your mind, you are surrendering your mind. And in that sense, worry is the absence of thinking. Some of you here tonight, you have not been thinking. You've been surrendering your mind to fears. But is there not a better way for the church to handle anxieties? Of course there is. You do not surrender your mind to things below. You set your mind on things above. That's what the apostle says to the Colossian church, chapter 3 and verse 2. Set your mind on things above. The word affection in our text, Colossians 3 text, is literally the word mind. Give your mind. Make a conscious effort to set your mind on that which is true because of Jesus Christ. So I ask you, are you thinking on Christ and the truths of the gospel when anxieties arise? Have you felt those anxieties begin to come on up and you can just feel them about to strangle you, and it's hard to think and it's hard to breathe? In those moments, you have to talk to yourself. Do you talk to yourself? Some of you are really good at talking to yourself. I love my wife. She's really good at talking to herself. I'll come into a room, there's nobody else there, and she's talking. Who are you talking to? Oh, just myself. I believe the key to handling anxieties and one of the keys to living by faith is to stop listening to yourself and start talking to yourself. Stop listening to your fears. Stop listening to those anxieties. Stop listening to all of the what ifs that God truly has not yet given you grace to go through yet. And start talking to yourself and telling yourself what is true and honest and just and pure and lovely and so forth. Back in 2017, when we were studying this passage as a couple, and I'm so thankful for my wife's insight into the scripture. We were studying this, and she brought up an excellent perspective I had never considered before. She said, Andy, you know, I've been thinking about this. Here's this list in verse number 8, and it's a great list, but isn't Jesus Christ the perfection of all things that are true? I said, yeah. She said, isn't he the perfection of all things honest and just and pure? And she went through all of this. He is the perfection of all of these. I said, yes. She said, well, in my way of thinking, when I read Philippians 4:8, I see the apostle here saying that we should think on Christ and what is true because of him in our life. And as we further began to study, we learned that this is not a comprehensive list. In other words, there are many more good things to think about. This is just a pattern of biblical thinking. Now, lest you get anxious that I'm going to go through each one of these words tonight. I'm not. So calm your heart down. It's a great Bible study. Do that on your own. I'm trying to give you an overall picture of what the apostle here is getting at. He is saying when your thinking is right, when your thinking is on Christ, when your thinking is on the truths of the gospel, your living will be right and the God of peace will be with you. To borrow what I've learned from others, stop listening to yourself. Start talking to yourself and telling yourself what's up, what's true because of Christ. Can I share with you how that's worked in our life? About a week after we had sat in with the doctor, it's a Monday night. The next day we were going into surgery. We're going back in and Bryn was going to have surgery to remove the cancerous tumor and all the tissue. It had also made its way in other parts of the body. A lot of anxiety in that moment. Now, I know my girl really, really well. And I know that when something big is going to happen the next day, she can't go to sleep. Are you that way? You can't shut your mind off? That is her. We tease about that. So I knew, oh, we're in for a long night. Monday night's going to be long. So before we went to bed, she checked her email, and there's an email from her brother. And her brother sends this message and says, Bryn, just want you to know that we love you. We're praying for you. And then he pointed out this. He said, you know, a lot is going to change tomorrow. But nothing eternal will change. Oh, did I need that? Can I be honest with you? A lot changed that day, the next morning. In fact, it's not gone back to what it was before that day. As they say, there's a new normal in our house. A lot did change that next day. But I'm here to tell you, not one eternal thing has ever changed. That night, Bryn went out with the light. She immediately went to sleep. I was the one who struggled to go to sleep that night. The next morning, got up, and I said, are you ready? And she said, yes, let's get this thing out of me. And we've been on a journey for 10 months. And God's been faithful. God's been good. Gone through a whole lot of treatments. Most of those are done. Have some ongoing treatments over the next few years. But we rejoice at this point that there is no cancer that we see in her body. God has been so good to us. But I'll tell you this, in the week between that we found out that it was cancer and the surgery that launched us onto this journey, I had a very holy moment with God. Have you ever had these moments? Let me be accurate. It was after the surgery, now that I think about it. It was right after the surgery. So Brim was at home, doing fine. And I was shuttling my kids in two different locations. And I stopped somewhere between picking up my kids and I was all by myself. And I pulled off into a parking lot. And I just sobbed. And my mind started going in a whole bunch of different directions. What if this cancer takes my wife? What are we going to do? How are we going to handle this? How am I going to do it? How are my kids going to be? Lord, this is too much for me. In fact, I even cried out to God and I said, Lord, first my dad and now my wife, please don't touch my kids. I can't handle it right now. Just poured out my heart. But that phrase came back. A lot has changed. But nothing eternal has changed. And this is when I said, I got to start talking to myself. And I started started preaching the gospel to myself. Telling myself what is true because of Christ. And there were several thoughts. There was a progression of thoughts in my life. And the first thing that came to my mind was this, that, you know, if this cancer does take my wife, and I say goodbye to her, and I lose her in death, it's going to be painful, and it's going to be awful and sorrowful. But I do not sorrow as other people without Christ, without hope. I do know where she is going, but I'm going to miss her. But you know, even if I lose her, I cannot lose Christ. He has promised to never leave me nor forsake me. And oh, that was comforting for a moment. And then I thought, but I don't want to lose her. And then I had to talk to myself again, praying out to God, Lord, I need help. And then the Lord brought this thought to mind. Now hold it. Yes, we are going to die at some point. And I rejoice that it doesn't look like it's going to be because of this now, but I didn't know that then. But even if this cancer takes my wife and I lose her, wait a second. I'm not going to lose her because she has placed her faith in the resurrected Jesus Christ. He beat death. He came back to life. And the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the guarantee that all who have placed their faith in Jesus Christ will also beat death. Yes, she may die from this, or I may die from something before she does. But we beat death because Jesus beat death. Our faith is in Him. And I could feel in that moment, the anxieties begin to go back down. I've had to do a lot of talking to myself over the last several months. It's an everyday thing, preaching to yourself the good news of what is true because of Jesus Christ. I don't know what it may look like for you. I'm just telling you how it worked in our lives and how it is working. This is the essence of living by faith. I choose to look to Jesus. Does He not take care of the birds? Does He not take care of the flowers? Does He not have power to protect me? Has He ever stumbled in taking care of me? Is He not God in all His ways? Has He ever forgotten me? No. And so I trust Him. Now, I don't understand Him many times, but understanding God is no requirement for trusting God. I just know His heart for me and my wife and my kids, and I'm good with that. I trust Him. I depend on Him. I rely on Him. I give my fears to Him, and what's more, I give my mind to Him. This is how it's possible to have an anxious-free life. That's an easy truth to preach, whole different matter to live. Now, I want to close to my non-Christian friends here tonight. You would classify yourself, maybe nobody else knows this, but you think of yourself as a non-believer. May I, just as kindly as I can, tell you this. I've been preaching about the peace that comes from God. My non-Christian friend, you have no access to the peace of God. As you sit here tonight, you are on your own. And the point is, because you have not made peace with God, but you can. And you need to tonight, if for no other reason that you would have access to God when this broken world tears into you. You need God. You've got nothing to battle the anxieties of this world. Only Jesus gives you that. Come to Jesus. He went to a cross. He won peace with God. He offers it to you. Would you not receive it? Submit to Him. come to Him. Say, oh, Jesus, make me right with God. Take away my sin. I'm done with it. I want You. I need You. And my friends, those who come to Him, He will in no wise cast out. Stop fighting God in your life and surrender to Him. Accept His terms of peace. And you will not only be at peace with God now and forevermore, you have instant access to the peace of God. And I guarantee it, you need it. Only found in Jesus. I would like to close in prayer. This is what we're going to do. I'm going to pray. And then after I pray, I'm going to ask that we all stand. That would be after the prayer. But I'm going to ask that we all stand. And I'm going to ask that you just have your head bowed. That's respectful for one another around you. It's also, I think, reverential for the moment for you to consider what it is you have heard. Some of you are very anxious ridden, and you shouldn't be if you're in Christ. Yeah, a lot is changing. I can't stop that. Neither can you, but nothing eternal is changing. You need to give your fears and your anxieties once again, your mind to God. And I would encourage you at that point when we'll be standing after the prayer, if you would like to sit back down and pray, you can do so. If you would like to find a spot down here and pray, you can do that. Is there someone near you know real well, knows you? You want to go to that person and say, would you pray with me? And do that. And then to my non-Christian friend here, life has been beating on you, and you need Christ, and you know that you need Christ. Would you not maybe turn to the person next to you or someone else you know around you and say, can we talk? And they would love to show you, point you to Christ. Maybe you're a counselor back in the dorm tonight. If I can help you, I'd be happy to talk to you afterwards. Just don't leave tonight without being at peace with God. Whatever it is you need to do, I'd encourage you to do so. I'm going to pray, then I'll ask you to stand up. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, how grateful we are for Jesus. Thank You that You have won peace at the cross and made an open and a new and a living way of access to the Father. I thank You for what You've been teaching me and Bryn and our precious children. Help us to continue to learn. May we not grow contented in where we currently are, but may we continue to strive in living the peace-filled life in Christ. I pray for my brothers and sisters who are really beaten up with fears, shedding a whole lot of tears, that tonight they would find release, rest, and peace again in the Lord Jesus. And then for those who need Christ, may they stop fighting You and come to make terms of peace with You at the cross. For the glory of God, I ask this. Amen.